Around the world, the Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. This is Pastor David Langford, and we'd like to take the opportunity today to welcome you to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. We just pray that God's grace is filling your cup, filling your heart, filling your life, meeting every need that you have within your life. We serve a mighty God. Regretfully, the signs of the times are telling us we're facing tremendous, paramount days of difficulty and indifference. You know, with what's taking place in the alphabet agencies here in the United States of America, it demonstrates again how debased and, as Hillary said, deplorables. She just identified the wrong people. There are those that are deplorable, and in a sense, I wear that as a badge, being a Christian. I'm sure I'm perceived to be deplorable among many. But that's all right. Jesus Christ, what a righteous and godly and holy man. The greatest man that ever walked in shoe leather, who knew no sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth. But what did they do to Christ? They crucified our Lord. Jesus said they hated me without a cause. They're going to hate you without a cause. There's no reason for all of this malice, clamor, maligning, castigating. There's no need for it. But it's there because of Satan, Lucifer, the fallen one. And it will be there until Jesus returns in his power and in his glory. Before we get into today's message, however, I want to play a song by Brian Free, simply entitled, I Believe. I Believe. And my friend, you must have faith in God. Your belief must be anchored in Jesus Christ and none other. Listen to the words. He draws from the older days, talking about the old hymns and how they used to bless our hearts immensely. Amen.
Shepherd and a giant.
Do you believe? I pray today that you do believe in the great things that Christ has done. We are living, without a doubt, in the last days. We know Jesus is going to return, and we should always be willing to tell the truth about everything. Isn't it amazing that when you seek to be a purveyor of truth, how men seek to encroach truth? Lies get extolled, lies get lauded, lies get lifted up. That's a fact. Jesus is the truth. As the last days become more perilous, we're going to need the truth. Because you see, the truth is the only thing that sets men free. If you don't know the truth, you're in darkness. You're in darkness. The last several days, and many of you, again, I want to say thank you for fasting and praying with us. The last several days, I've been meditating and asking the Lord to help me to encourage you. I know that many times we get beaten down. I have been profusely impressed by the many of you who fasted with us, some as long as 21 days, some 5 days, some 8 days. Some fasted 2 or 3 days, broke their fast, going to go back and start another fast. That tells me God is creating a hunger and a stirring among His people. And I, my friend, want to be in the midst of what God is doing in this hour. I want to go today to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you today from the Holy Scriptures. Look with me, please, at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16, 17, and 18. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I want to use for a subject outward versus the inward. The outward versus the inward. How well? We all know how that the outward man is waning and waxing old. The elasticity that we once had in our step, how we used to be able to take a longer, a more elastic step, but somehow the step has narrowed because the elasticity is no longer there. As I was studying this morning, I was pondering Psalms chapter 90, verses 9 and 12. Where the psalmist said, we spend our years as a tale that is told. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. By no means do I mean to be morbid, Do I mean to be disparaging or anything of that nature? But think about this for just a moment. There are 365 days in a year. If one has 15 years left, then you have 5,475 days left. Think of what the psalmist declared. We spend our years as a tale that is told, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Help us to apply our hearts unto wisdom. Regretfully, we've lost a step. We tire a little more easily than we did a few years ago. Our memory sometimes struggles to recall. It's amazing as we get older, we can recall things when we were 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old in high school. Somehow we struggle to remember yesterday and what took place. You say, Pastor, what's happening? What's taking place? You see, the outward man is fainting. The outward man is perishing. But Paul said the inward man is renewed day by day. The spiritual man doesn't lose his spiritual elasticity. The spiritual man can recall the moves and the power and the presence of God and the times when God prevailed. You see, the devil will bombard your mind with all sorts of difficulties, with all sorts of problems, with all sorts of aggravation. He'll try to magnify something that is so insignificant. Some of you listening to me, you and your spouse had a terrible argument just the other day. And it was over nothing. It was over something ridiculous, something actually that was silly. But because you were still trying to magnify the outward man, it caused an element of strife, an element of contention. We've got to learn to allow outward man to continue to wane and to waft and to drift away, but we've got to allow the spiritual man, the inward man, to excel. The only way for my spiritual man to excel is to bathe my spirit in the Word of God and bathe my spirit in prayer. You see, the devil is always attacking and appealing to your flesh. It's your flesh. It is your flesh. That is the adversity. That is the confrontation. That is the outward man with which we all struggle. And sometimes we struggle greater than we do at other times. I think of Paul the Apostle in 1 Corinthians 9 and 24, where he said, "Wherein I keep my body under subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Let me quote that again. 1 Corinthians 9 and 27. "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." The Greek word there, castaway, is adokimos. A-D-O-K-I-M-O-S, adokimos. Something that's been rejected, something that has been disapproved. It actually means a reprobate. A reprobate. You mean Paul said, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a reprobate? That's right. That's why Paul will simply say, I suffer, I allow my inward man to excel, to grow, to mature, so he can keep the outward man suppressed and oppressed. I've told you this story before. A dear brother, saint of God, man of God, George Alford, he's dead. He's gone on to be with the Lord. He preached for me when I was pastoring in Charlotte, North Carolina. Great man of God. I was probably 30, 31, 32 years ago, and Brother Alford was well into his 70s, maybe even 80. We were riding from the church back to my home, and Brother Alford said, David, don't ever let Adam out of the coffin. Don't suffer him to get out of the coffin. Keep the coffin lid nailed shut. He said, if you ever let Adam, the old man, if you ever let him out of the coffin, he will cause you more problems in one day that you can reconcile in a lifetime. Think of that. Think of what I just said. He said, I'm repeating it. You suffer the devil to take your outward man and to live loosely, he'll create so much havoc. He will wreck, he will damage so much in your life in one day that you cannot fix it before you go to the grave. Satan does not play games. It is people and their frivolity and their triviality that they play games with the devil. This is not a game. This is a civil war. Your soul is the battleground, and your flesh and your spirit are constantly fighting each other. And one of them is going to win the battle, and depending on who wins the battle depends on the destiny of your soul, where you spend eternity. I still have a temper. It's not what it used to be, by no means. But there was a day when I was in my late teens and early 20s, if something went wrong, I turned into a hammer and everything was a nail. That's foolishness. I could create and multiply my problems so quickly. But I learned, especially after becoming a Christian, anger is all right if it's used in the correct way. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 7, verse 11, God is angry with the wicked every day. Does God get angry? Yes, he does. Does people most of the time say God is nothing but love? Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Oh, he's a God of love. He's also a God of anger. When Jesus healed the man that had the withered hand in Mark chapter 3, the Pharisees castigated him and sought to engage him. And the Bible says in Mark chapter 3, verse 5, and when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other hand. And then they took counsel how they might destroy him. But he looked round about on them with anger. Anger? God gets angry. I won't get into it, but I believe it's the 28th chapter of Acts that Paul the Apostle kind of lost his temper and made some railing accusations. Ephesians 5 and 26, Paul, Ephesians 4, 26, Paul said, be angry and sin not. Be angry and sin not. Anger can be an impetus to do something good. Or anger can be turned and do something very detrimental, something very, very evil. That's not the fruit of the Spirit. That is the outward man, and the outward man must diminish. He must die. The Apostle Paul is telling the church here at Corinth that we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The inward man is renewed day by day. How do I renew my inward man? I bathe my inward man in the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, and with the Word of God. That's what I do to help myself. You see, there is an end to man, as we know ourselves. If you maintain Christ as your Savior, there is an end to your corrupt, physical, decaying, rotting body. And you're going to get a new body that will never, ever be corrupt again. So for me to maintain the correct and the proper disposition, Paul said, the inward man must be renewed day by day. How do I renew the inner man? I pray and I read my Bible. I bathe my mind, I bathe my spirit in the Word of God. Romans 12 and 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace of God given to me to every man that is among you, that a man ought not think more highly of himself, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Let's back up. I beseech you, I desire, I exhort you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The very fact that you're born again says you're able to present your body a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. What God now asks of you is not unreasonable. It's not unreasonable. Now, the devil will tell you everything that God asks of you is always unreasonable, like tithing and giving and praying and fasting. And praying for each other. The devil will always tell you, oh, that is so arduous. That is so laborious. You don't have to do any of those things. You must present your body a living sacrifice. Then Paul says, and be not conformed to this world. I think I said it on the radio just the other day. The church has become worldly and the world has become churchy. I marvel at these liberals who talk about being non-judgmental. Yet these liberal Episcopal Lutheran church, they'll put signs on their billboards, Trump is hate. What hypocrites. What purveyors of politics and not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? Regretfully, too many people are being conformed to the world. We're told, be not conformed to this world. You're not supposed to be like this world. You're not to act like the world. You're not to dress like the world. You're not to talk like the world. You don't go to the same places the world goes. You keep yourself sanctified, separated, and dedicated to Christ our God. There's things I am just not going to do because I am a Christian. Now, it may not be wrong, but I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Too easily we fall into the external and fleeting fashions and fleeting passions of this age. We're not to be fashioned to this age or in the likeness of this age. But the child of God goes under a deep inner change, a metamorphosis. Our minds are changed. Our minds are renewed. It is the Spirit of God that does the changing in our minds. It is the Holy Ghost that changes us. I cannot change myself, but as I submit myself to God, as I yield myself to God, as I spend time in God's presence, He is able to change me. Look at your life, look at my life as a wrecked car. And you take it to the body shop, and the man has to get out the creases, the wrinkles, the dents. You know, they take body filler, they fill in all the cracks and the crevices, they sand it down, they get it smooth, they base coat it, then they clear coat it, and man, that thing looks unbelievable. We were wrecks when we came to Jesus. And oh, He put us through more than a body shop. He put us through grace, washed us, bathed us, cleansed us, took away our sins, pulled us out of the miry clay in the horrible pit and put our feet on a solid rock and said, now go and sin no more. Live a godly and a righteous life. You're not to be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Something has to renew your mind. Your mind has to be renewed in the thinking process. You got to think different. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, you think different. I watch, especially when I was pastoring young people, and I would watch them grow, and I would watch them mature, and I would watch the frivolity, the silliness, the shallowness. I would watch it as it began to dissipate, as it began to wane. And they became more mature. They became more serious. They savored the things of God. They became hungry for God. They wanted to fast. They wanted to pray. They wanted to walk in the Spirit. They wanted the gifts of the Holy Ghost to walk in their lives. They wanted the anointing of the Spirit of God to be upon them. They wanted to be able to pray a fervent prayer, not a limp-wristed, worthless, dead prayer, but an anointed prayer that would touch the throne of God. Something happens when the Spirit of God begins to renew your mind. This is the problem with the church. There's no power. There's no Holy Ghost. There's no anointing. You've got to have the Spirit of God. When the Spirit of God leaves a person's body, they're dead. When your spirit leaves your body, you're physically dead. How do we know they died? The Spirit left their body. How do we know the church is dead? Because the Spirit is not there. There's no anointing of the Holy Ghost there. And now the outward church looks like the world. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be distinct. There's supposed to be a separation.
I know this is a little old school. I'm sitting here and I'm thinking every time I come off a fast, I seem to drift further back into the deeper things of God, preaching more conservatism, preaching holiness, preaching righteousness. Why? You get on fire for God, something happens. You get renewed in your mind. You get renewed in your spirit. The Spirit of God will change a man. That's why we have so many people today who resist the Holy Ghost. That was Stephen's problem. That was Stephen's problem when he was preaching to those bigoted, self-righteous Sanhedrins. He told it like it was. Why do you always resist the Holy Ghost? Even as your fathers resisted the Holy Ghost, so do you. See, the Holy Ghost will change you. I don't care who you are, what you are. When the Spirit of God touches you, you change. Acts 7:51. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, even as your fathers did, so do ye. Why do they resist the Holy Ghost? Because the Holy Ghost demands change in your life. He demands change in your life. I shared this story. When I was just 12 years old, God called me to preach. That Sunday night, I received the baptism in the Holy Ghost as a child at 12 years old. I came home that night to my grandparents. I went to bed. I had the dream, the vision. God called me into the ministry. But I loved to play the speckle ball machine, the gumball machine that had speckle balls in it. If you got a speckle ball, you got a nickel's worth of candy, and you only put a penny in the speckle ball machine. Miss Ruth Christie, she ran that little store. I miss those days. But I remember the next day coming home from school, and I went over there to the store, and I went to put my money in the bubble gum machine. Because I wanted to get a speckle ball, because that speckle ball would buy me a Reese cup. A nickel Reese cup. Reese's peanut butter cup. They were big back then. And I went to put my money in the speckle ball machine. And the Spirit of God spoke to my heart and said, don't do that anymore. That's gambling. Why? Well, I'm taking a chance to try to make more money. So I'm gambling. Now, I know some of you will say, that is so trivial that you were just a child. I was being renewed in the spirit of my mind. Throughout the years, I've had guys want to play golf and play for money. And I always told them, absolutely not. Well, let's just play for a hot dog. I said, absolutely not. Whether it's a hot dog or for $1,000, in the spirit, it is the same thing. I met a man once. He was a Seventh-day Adventist pastor. And he wanted to beat me so bad. Nice guy. Nice guy. I didn't believe in his doctrine by no means. But he was a nice guy. And after we had probably played 5 or 6 rounds together throughout a span of several months, he finally said, let's play for 10 cents a hole. I'm trying to remember his name. This has been 30 years ago. And I called him by his name. I said, if you think 10 cents is going to put pressure on me, and I'm going to collapse playing golf, you have another thought coming. I said, but I don't do that. Because I'm going to nurture and take care of my name David Lankford, because I have a good name. Now, I know there are those out there today who hate me, loathe me, despise me, disagree with me, and castigate me, and they tell all sorts of mess on me. They're just liars. They lied on Jesus. Don't think they're not going to lie on you. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. Luke 6:26. I know what the Bible says. Know where it says it. So everybody's not going to speak well of you. There's some of you listening to me right now. Somebody has spoken evil of you. Wear it like a badge. Luke 6:26, woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. Oh, I've had people write articles on me, get on the radio, lie on me and Steve Quill. Just tell bald-faced lies. That's all it is, lies and lies. You see, people hate the truth. Look at the liberal Democrats castigating the Republicans because they're trying to bring out what the DOJ, FBI, State Department, all these entities have done. They're just trying to bring out the truth. They don't want you to know the truth because truth renews your mind. Though your outward man is perishing, your inward man is excelling. Your inward man is growing profusely. It is by the power of the Holy Ghost. It is by the power of the Spirit of God that comes in you and strengthens you and begins to change you. Genesis 1, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. When the Spirit begins to move, something begins to happen. Now, John 14:17, Jesus was admonishing the disciples about the baptism and the Holy Ghost. John 14:16. I want to get verse 16 in there too. John 14:16-17. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. You see, the world cannot have what we have as believers. This is why I tell you, these charlatans, these false teachers, these false pastors, these false prophets, they do not have what we have. Jesus said they don't have it. He said the world cannot receive it because the world does not see him, neither do they know him. But Jesus said, ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and he shall be in you. This is what it means to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And I'm going to say something here, and you can get mad and you can get hateful, but you better come out of that harlot church, that Catholic system. The Catholic Church is not, I know what Ratzinger said. He said, we're the mother church. The church is not a woman. The church is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I said the church is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is your false, substitutionary, fake church called the Catholic Church. And look at the Protestants who are going back to Catholicism and picking up that old heresy and fallacy and lies. My God. She's called a whore. Oh, you don't like that kind of preaching. Pastor, You kind of hard today. I'm talking about the outward man versus the inward man. Revelation 17:5, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots, and the abominations of the earth. What they're doing is an abomination. I didn't say that. God said that. You've never seen the manifest power of the Holy Ghost on the Pope. You ever seen him operate in the gifts of the Spirit? You ever seen him utter words by the Holy Ghost? No, they're full of pedophilia. Sodomites. Sodomizing little boys. You say you're Catholic? You say you're Catholic? My God, help us. This is why you must line everything up with the Word of God and with the Spirit of God. Does the Catholic Church preach the baptism in the Holy Ghost? No. Do they preach Mary as a co-redemptor? Yes. Is Mary a co-redemptor? No. I'm telling you, the outward man versus the inward man. When the inward man is not right with God, the outward man is totally lost, totally deceived. Hey, I'm going to give you another Bible verse, Matthew 24:5. And many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Some of you are being deceived by who and what you listen to. When you have the real Holy Ghost, I can discern what's right. I can discern what's wrong because I have the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because the world does not see him. The world does not know him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and he shall be in you. I'm telling you, the Episcopals, the Lutherans, they're all going back. Because John said she's the mother of whores. Woo, woo, woo. Mother of whores. Mother of fornications. I'm talking spiritual fornication, spiritually false doctrine. And it's an abomination. What will be the great revelation of the Antichrist? The abomination of desolation. We better wake up. This is not a time to be playing games. I didn't intend to go this way today, but I'm telling you, God is moving. God is stirring. God wants you to be renewed in your mind. Your mind, it is imperative. It is imperative. It is mandatory. It is compulsory. Your mind must be renewed. Your inward man must be renewed every day. Why? Every day the devil is shooting fiery darts at you to get you to crash and burn and leave your first love. I marvel at these wannabes, and they want to be everything. They want to be Pentecostal. They want to be Catholic. They want to be every. You can't be everything. That's how you get deceived. That's why Paul said in Galatians 5:9, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I see those today who formulate their own little program. They take a little of this and they take a little of that. They take some of this and they take some of that. And they try to bring it all together and say, now this is the church. But you're not going to bring heresy into the body of Christ. God's body, his son's body, will remain holy and pure to the very end. It will not be corrupted. He will amputate. He will cut people off. Not going to do it. Not going to do it. The church is his body. First Corinthians 12:25, that there should be no schism in the body. No schism in the body. That means division. First Corinthians 12:27. Now are ye the body of Christ and members in particular. If you're born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, you are a body, you are of the body of Christ. The church is his body. 1 Corinthians 12 and 20, but now are they many members, yet but one body. One body. The body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5 and 30. Paul gives this great analogy, and he also gives us a great picture of a husband and a wife, Ephesians 5 and 30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. People say, well, the church is the bride of Christ. Well, who then is the body of Christ? You see, that's one of the great revelations when I just wrote this book. God's body, the church, is masculine. And so the devil's imitation, false church, is feminine. And look at all the femininity that's coming into the church right now. Oh, it's the church is being overwhelmed. The true church never will be overwhelmed. But what you see as a nominal worldly church, it's becoming more and more feminine, feminine, feminine. This is poor, pathetic grammar. I ain't changing. I said I ain't changing. I want my inner man to be renewed, renewed, renewed every day of my life. Where's your Holy Ghost convictions? I'm not talking about psychological conviction. I'm not talking about mental condemnation, emotional condemnation. I'm talking about Holy Ghost conviction that says that's wrong, and that's wrong, and here's how you ought to live your life for Jesus Christ. We are so compromised. And that's why you're going to see the church, the true church of Jesus, is going to go further and further to the right side, because that's the sheep, and the goats, the hirelings, the pretenders are going further to the left. Because go back and read Matthew chapter 25. Where does he put the sheep? That was one of the things God gave me in 2013. After that 21-day fast, he said, everyone will either become a goat or a sheep. And then Matthew 25:33 says, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left hand. And those who are on the left hand, these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. He's going to gather all the nations together, Matthew 25:32. He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. There's separation coming, folks. It's already happening. It's been happening for some few years now. I've watched it even in this arena, in this platform, those of us who are on Blog Talk Radio, those who God has given a platform. I've watched those who have departed from the faith. Yeah, they've changed. You know they've changed. I know they've changed. How do I know they've changed? How do you know they've changed? Because you measure them by the Word of God, and they're coming up shorter and shorter every day because they're not abiding in the Word of God, and the Word of God is not abiding in them. Always remember, Satan will give you nine parts truth and interject the one lie to taint the nine parts of truth. There's only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Now, Paul said that. There's no co-redemptor. I don't understand people that says, I got the Holy Ghost. But yet they'll pray to another so-called saint. I thought the Holy Ghost helped us to pray. I thought the Holy Ghost helped us to pray. I don't need to pray to some other person. Timothy 2 and 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. He paid the price. He paid the ransom. Jesus is our mediator. He is our go-between. And the Holy Ghost helps us to pray. Romans 8, 26, likewise. The Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For when we know not what we ought to pray for as we should, the Spirit itself maketh intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Holy Ghost is the Paracletos. The Holy Ghost is the helper. He gives aid and he gives comfort. Jesus called him the Comforter. Oh, that, I can't imagine. I can't imagine saying, Father, in Mary's name, would you help me? Or Mother Teresa, would you help me? I shudder at those thoughts. My God, I shudder at that. And how dare another human being, a man or a woman, call a preacher or a pastor Father David, Father Tom. God, help us. I'm telling you, folks, it's going to get worse. But you see, when you're in the light, you can see the aberrations. You can see the anomalies. You can see the evilness. You see it more clearly. It's not as shaded. It's not as fuzzy. It all becomes crystal clear. And you know that you know that you know it's not right. When you have the Spirit of God on the inside of you, remember, he is called the Spirit of Truth. 1 John 4, 6, hereby know we the Spirit of Truth and the Spirit of Error. The Spirit of Truth shows you what's erroneous, what is error, what is fallacy, what is a mendacity. He shows you. He shows you these things. The fact that he shows you these things are a witness to you that you need to turn and go in another direction. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Reprove them. We don't want to do that anymore. Oh, just go on. Don't just leave them alone. Tell them they're wrong. Tell them they're wrong. You love your children? Did you ever tell your children they were wrong? Why did you tell them they were wrong? Well, because you loved them. But we don't want to reprove today. Paul said reprove and rebuke. Whoa. Reprove and rebuke. The outward man versus the inward man. I may pick this back up tomorrow. This is important. We need to understand the outward man is supposed to die. He's going to die. He's going to wane. He's going to drift. He's going to fade away. But Paul said the inward man, he is renewed day by day. Day by day, the inward man is renewed. God bless you. Thank you for fasting. Thank you for praying. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Do you realize you are pulling down strongholds? We are tearing up the devil's playhouse. We're making a difference. I said we are making a difference, and don't you quit. Don't you stop. You're making a difference whether you know it or not. You may not get the pat on the back. You may not get the recognition, but I'm telling you, God's keeping a record of everything. You're making a difference. Keep making a difference. You're the salt. You're the light. We're in the earth. We're in the world for a reason, for a purpose. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Praise God. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Keep your lamp trimmed and burning ever so bright. I'll see you tomorrow in the Lord Jesus Christ.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to the Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.